It is so good to be back. It is Steve here with the brand new season of the Eurovision Song Contest podcast. I hope you had a brilliant summer, but we are now on that road to Malmo. We are less than 6 months, just checking the time and the date. Yeah, less than six months from the grand final of next year's contest in Sweden in May. It is going to go so, so fast. It always does, doesn't it? Before that, though, we have got artists to be announced and national finals to be held. And we've already got our first four artists signed up. So for Belgium, Cyprus, Greece and France. And also confirmed the new permanent slogan for the Eurovision Song Contest, United by Music. For this first episode back, I have called up a huge Eurovision fan. She is one of Norway's biggest singers right now, and her name is Sigrid. You will know her from massive songs like Mirror, Sucker Punch, Strangers, and both her albums went to number one in her home country of Norway. And she's just released a brand new EP called The Hype. She has been watching the Eurovision Song Contest since she was a kid, and she also has a number of connections to it, including a school friend who competed in Eurovision. Who? Well, you'll find out any moment now. Stay there. So it's a big hello to the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast to Sigrid. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I am very, very good. I know you are very busy at the moment. Not only are you on tour, you've just released new music and you're in Norway, your home country. Is it all a bit frantic and mad at the minute?
Yeah, I mean, it is frantic and mad, but I talked to my friends about it the other day and I think the more I've been on tour and the more I've been releasing songs, you kind of get into the rhythm and the pace of it. So it's like a really good busy. And I'm spending a lot of time at home in between the tour because the tour I'm on is in Norway. So that's great. And then, yeah, a new EP being released. Feedback's been really lovely. So good times.
Is it nice to be back home? I mean, the snow's falling now, right? It's getting into winter, but you're where you have all your friends and family.
I've gotten a bit of a cold though. I was walking out yesterday and it was like full vibes and I was, you know, full more pumpkin spice latte vibe. I wake up this morning with a sore throat and I look out the window and it's like a snowstorm. So that's just Norway. But it's good. It's really nice to be home.
It is so good to speak to you. How much of a Eurovision fan are you?
I mean, I come from a country where Eurovision is massive. Eurovision is something that's been a huge part of my childhood. I remember watching the finals every year. I remember watching the children's version of Eurovision. My world was rocked. I loved it. It was so exciting.
Can you remember the first contest that you watched? Can you remember the first kind of Norwegian act that you remember?
I remember very well when Alexander Rybak won Eurovision, of course. I think it was a big moment where Norway was kind of put on the map musically probably as well, of course alongside a lot of other musical events in Norway, but I remember that as a kid, like, yeah, Norway music is like being recognized outside of Norway, so that was very cool. And then I remember so well Lordi with Hard Rock Hallelujah. What a song.
Still to this day, what a song, what an amazing, it's just something that has never been replicated.
Exactly. I hope we get a moment like that again. It had everything Eurovision has with like the drama, the concept, the song, the catchiness, the costumes, the vibe. Yeah, that was very cool. And then in New Year's, I remember so well Lena with the Satellite from Germany.
Yeah, Satellite. Yeah.
Proper tune. the Tran song that was maybe 1 or 2 years ago.
Which one?
It's the one I was so addicted. It was such a cool club tune.
I'm going to have to try and think of it. How did it go again?
Oh, if I hum it, it's going to be really bad. But like, it was just like trance. Like it just kept on and on and on. And it felt very clubby.
No, I know. And you know that people listening now are going to be screaming this, going, it was that song from that country. And me and you are like, what? Which one was it? I can't remember.
We should be the experts. And then, of course, I also remember the ballad. That one, was that from Spain a couple of years ago?
Spain have not won it recently.
But I'm thinking like 5 years ago or something.
Oh, Salvador Sobral for Portugal.
Portugal, yes. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry for my ignorance. Fairly close geographically. But yeah, that was amazing.
That was such a tiny song, but it still has the most points ever. It was by far the biggest winner of the last decade in terms of just smashing it on the night. And it really stands out in the crowd. Again, every winner that you've mentioned stands out, doesn't it?
Yeah. They've always, I guess they've always like done something different in their year. But yeah, I love it. I love the spectacle, the show, the diversity of so many different things at the same time, which is great. Yeah, I really want to go and watch Eurovision one time. I think that would be incredible.
So you've never seen it live?
No. That would love to. Do you usually go every year?
Yeah, as much as I can. I mean, I work for Eurovision as well, so that helps. Yeah. That lets me, they let me in. They haven't banned me yet. But Norway itself, as you mentioned, Norway is obsessed with Eurovision. Out of all the countries, I know everybody has national pride, but Norway and the Scandi countries take it so seriously. Melody Grand Prix is your big national selection competition. Does the whole country just watch it when it comes to January and February?
Massive. And I love it. And it's so nice because then it's something really lovely about this like common like bonfire to gather around. Like everyone will like talk about Eurovision, think about Eurovision, think about the music. But yeah, there's like different finals. I think it used to be in different cities before as well. But yeah, I love it. I love that the whole thing goes on for a while. Yeah, it's great. But it's not like that in a lot of other countries. I wouldn't know. I know how Eurovision is and Melodi Grand Prix is in Norway.
Yeah, some countries have a national selection. Other countries have an internal selection. This year, Alessandra won with Queen of Kings. She did so well. Like, when the whole of a country is behind the artist, how do you feel as a fellow artist watching somebody represent your country?
Of course, you feel proud. And it's just really nice to see Norwegian music do well out there. Of course, Alessandra did so well in Eurovision, so it's very exciting. And I watched the finals in London, and it was very exciting, of course, to be like the only Norwegian in the room, like, wow, every time they were talking about Norway. So that's great.
So do you ever have parties in Norway, like a Eurovision party when you're not on tour?
Yeah, of course, with like drinking games, like every time someone is modulating in their songs, like take the song higher up in the key, you drink, stuff like that. I love that. And it was like a game when I did it in London as well, which is great. And actually a fun fact about Eurovision for me is that, do you remember Amanda Tenfjord, who competed for Beast?
Yes.
She's a friend of mine. We went to school together. We were in the same class.
I heard this rumor and I was going to ask you, and it is true. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're mates from school.
When did you first meet? How were you at school? Did you both always knew that you loved pop and loved singing?
Yeah, we went to the high school together. So she's from a different fjord, very close to where I'm from, Ålesund. But we were both from the West Coast. And like for primary school and secondary school, you all go to more your local schools. But then for high school, because we're not that many people in Norway, people tend to travel further out of their towns to go to school. So we went to the same high school together, and it was like an international line where it was kind of like just normal school, but we were a bunch of geeks, all very nerdy, which I loved. It was such a good class environment as well. And we just started hanging out a lot. And then we also went on like exchange trips. We had a trip to Finland together. We had a trip to Holland where we were staying with other families and like exchanging back and forth for a week, which was really fun. And I also remember, must have been one of her first performances in high school, at least, where I was playing piano for her. I wasn't singing, I was playing for her. Yeah, where she was singing her own song, which was, we did a cover. We did a cover. She did a Imagine Dragons cover and I played the piano, which was really nice.
Yeah, because she represented Greece, because I think her mother is Greek and her dad is Norwegian. So what was it like to see her on the Eurovision stage singing Die Together? She came in the top 10. The performance was so dramatic. It was amazing.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant. I think we're all just really proud. She did so well and I loved it. Song's really cool. Yeah, so that was very, very nice, of course.
Did you speak to her after Eurovision?
Yeah, we've been texting, of course. And we see each other sometimes at festivals and stuff. Yeah, and it's so impressive. I don't know if you knew, but she's a doctor as well.
I didn't know that.
A woman of so many talents.
That is amazing, like multi-talented. But that's the thing about Eurovision. You kind of get, once you hear the stories behind the singers, you realise just how much talent is at this massive event. You do have another connection to Eurovision as well, because I've seen you perform with Sam Ryder.
Yes!
So Sam Ryder. You guys performed on like a New Year's Eve special.
Yeah, he was playing at the radio, BBC New Year's Eve, the big one. And he invited me to come join, which was such an honor. I honestly think Sam is the nicest man I've ever met in the music industry. I think so. I think he just has like a never-ending storage of warmth to bring to people around him. He's such a sunshine to everyone around him. The way he takes care of people around him and really cares. I remember especially like when we came to rehearsals and they had been rehearsing with the band and all the choir, who were amazing, best singers I've probably heard. He's been rehearsing for maybe 6 hours, and then he comes to my room and is like, do you want a cup of tea? After, so things like that. He's just really sweet and such a lovely team around him as well. So that was a joy to join. Really, really fun.
I would agree. You use the same word that I would say. He is like the human version of sunshine. He is literally the nicest man I've ever met, especially not just in the music industry, just in life in general. He is so, so friendly. And his voice, you know, you just have to look at him at Eurovision. And whether he's singing on a stage at the Eurovision Song Contest or whether he's singing into his phone, that voice, where does it come from? It's so amazing, you know?
It's ridiculous. And the vocal technique he has as well. Also, another thing with that BBC show is people heard, like, I don't know how long the show was, an hour maybe, but he was singing and singing and singing. And I was just standing side of stage waiting for me to go on and sing, like, 40 seconds, just seeing him perform over and over again. And yeah, I was in complete awe. I don't know how I did it.
You sang Mirror, is that right?
Yes. Mirror, and then we did Freedom, George Michael.
Oh, amazing.
Another amazing song. Yeah, that was great.
I always think Freedom's one of those songs, because I always think in terms of like, how would that look on the Eurovision stage? Freedom would be like such a big arena song for Eurovision, which actually like is leads me on to my next question. If you look at your back catalogue, what song would you pick to go to Eurovision? So a song that is in your back catalogue, what do you think would work at the Eurovision Song Contest?
Good question, because I feel like Eurovision has had a bit of a ballad moment for the past couple of years. Like, ballads have been doing well. So if I'm thinking like very calculated about this and like competitive,
yeah, that's good. I like
which
that.
I would.
Yes, of course. We like you being competitive. That's good.
I would probably. I think, of course, Strangers would probably be a bop.
Yeah,
but I also think Mirror lyrically, I think, could be really good, because I do feel like Eurovision is about love for yourself and love for people around you. It's a joy. It's celebratory. It's competitive, but it's still also like, let's have a good time. So I think Mirror could potentially do quite well. And then I do think Dynamite.
Yes, I agree.
Really well.
I think Dynamite would be amazing. But going back to Mirror.
Like the Nordic,
yes.
Emotional. Yeah, I think that could work.
I think, and let's go niche, because, you know, if we can't go niche on a Eurovision podcast, then where can we go niche? So say you had Mirror. Would you go obvious staging and have mirrors, or would you go for something abstract? What do you think would work?
I mean, if it was Eurovision, maybe there would be some mirrors included in the staging. But I think I would go very dramatic with it. Yes. But honestly, that's something I've been thinking would have been so fun, is to like create a song from bottom, like from scratch, make a whole song for an artist and like make this whole like world around it, to like just make a pop song, the catchiest song I could think of, and like specifically for like, how can we make it as exciting for Eurovision as possible? I think that could be really fun.
Have you ever been asked to do it or to write for somebody for Eurovision?
I haven't, but I think writing for someone for Eurovision could be really fun.
as I said earlier, like the Scandies, if you look at Denmark, Finland, Sweden and Norway, between them, they've won it so many times. It's going to be in Malmo next year. Lots of other countries look to the Nordics for how to do Eurovision. And it's proved again this year. You've got Loreen winning for Sweden and Norway coming fifth. You know, you do it well.
And actually for Sweden this year, even if we are Norway and Sweden, we're a bit competitive. I think it was great. I mean, Loreen is amazing. And that's one of like childhood memories of Euphoria, of course.
Yeah.
One of the best songs to come out of Eurovision ever. It's amazing.
I still think, what year are we in? We're in the year 2023, it won in 2012. Yeah. And still, when I ask people, whether they be a Eurovision fan or whether they be a Eurovision participant, Loreen, Euphoria is still the most popular answer when I say, what is your favourite Eurovision song of all time?
What is the second answer, out of curiosity?
Måneskin, because I think they, in 2021, created something different and something exciting. So yeah, last year, amongst all the competitors, it was either Loreen or Måneskin. But like we said earlier, we looked at the diversity. All these people that you were saying, they're all in your mind. You know, you've remembered them all because they've stood out. And that's what I think is so special about Eurovision a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. And I definitely think Måneskin changed Eurovision again. So that's been really cool to see.
So when Subwoofer did Give That Wolf a Banana for Norway, did you know who those two singers were before they were unmasked?
Did I know? I don't think so, but I actually met them at a festival this summer.
In as Subwoofer or as Ben and Gauta?
As Ben and Gauta backstage. Which was very fun.
Did they come and say hi to you or did you say hi to them?
I think it was just like everyone was hanging out backstage. Yeah. But it was really lovely. And you know Gauta Ormåsen is like big pop star in Norway.
Yeah. Yeah, they both did their first interview on this podcast as Ben and Gauta, yeah, as like when they decided to reveal themselves. But I love that, again, whether you think that's cheesy or not, they made a moment and they made Norway stand out again.
Absolutely, of course, like the mystique of it. I think that was very, and also very, at that time as well, wasn't that also the season where, The Masked Singer? Wasn't that around also like that at the same time? So it was very
completely
smart.
And then the other big Norwegian act recently is Kano. They did so well in 2019. They won the public vote. What do you think makes them stand out for Norway?
Well, if they are also singing like joik, traditional Sami singing, which is incredible and so cool. So I think, again, there they bring something new to the table. Or it's not, I mean, it's traditional singing, but it's new for maybe the Eurovision audience. It's new, bringing something new into pop, which I think is an incredible blend. So, yeah, they're great. And Alexandra, she is such a good singer.
She is. Isn't she amazing?
Oh,
honestly.
And she's so lovely as well. I met her the other day.
Did you?
At a party. Yeah.
Come on, tell us all. Where did you see her?
That was at a release party for the Norwegian pop singer Skaar. Have you heard of her?
No, I haven't.
Skaar. For everyone listening to this podcast, she's an incredible singer-songwriter from Norway. I haven't been asked to plug the album, but it's a great album, so I would go listen to it. But yeah, we met at her release party. Yeah, but it was so cool. Alexandra is, she's great. And she walked in like a full sequin outfit. It was incredible.
Yeah, she knows how to be a pop star, doesn't she?
Yes, I love it.
Right, I've got a mini quiz for you. Three questions testing your knowledge, okay? Sigrid,
oh God.
Question number one. How many times has Norway won the Eurovision Song Contest?
I should know this. Wait, I only think, isn't it just one time?
Incorrect.
When was the second time?
You've won it three times.
Three?
But I will let you off because you won it twice before you were born. So you won it in 1985, you won it in 1995, and you won it in 2009.
Yeah, I remember Alexander Rybak, but who were the two other winners?
So there was in 1995, it was a band called Secret Garden, and it was a song called Nocturne, and it was very It was quite instrumental. It was quite ethereal. It was quite special. There was a violin. You know, it was very.
Norwegian legends.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So yeah, not talking about it. And then in 1985, it was Bobby Sox with a song called "Let It Swing."
Let it swing, let it rock and roll. Let it swing till we stand control.
Yeah. So you've won it three times.
I just, of course, I know those songs, but I just didn't know that Bobby Sox actually won the Eurovision final.
Yeah, yeah. And then it went to, I think Bergen hosted it. The following year in like 1986. See, like chatting to me, you get all these like Eurovision facts.
You teach me more about my own country.
Yeah, I know, right? By the way, do you appreciate the flag?
I love it.
There we go.
Really appreciate it.
For the benefit of the podcast, I have a Norwegian flag. My second question. So in the year you were born, 1996, because Norway had won it in 95, you hosted it. Do you know who represented Norway in the year that you were born, 1996?
I have no idea, but I'm just going to say Jahn Teigen.
It was Elisabeth Andreasen, who was part of Bobby Sox, and she came second that year. So she did pretty well. So there we
Not
go.
Not bad.
And finally, Norway also has a bit of a... It has a not as good record at Eurovision because it has come last how many times?
I don't want to answer to this. Probably a couple times. Okay, maybe I'll be more generous in my answer. Maybe like 10 times?
11 times.
Oh, no.
11 times, but four of them, nul point, scoring nothing. But I think as we've spoken, we've realised that actually in the last decade, Norway is a bit of a tour de force when it comes to the Eurovision Song Contest. So finally, Sigrid, if you're at a party tomorrow, you've got Alexandra there from Kano, you've got Subwoofer there. What Eurovision song do you put on to make everybody stop and listen?
Probably that song I was thinking about.
The trance one?
The techno song.
What is it?
The techno trance one. Oh, it's so good.
Hold on.
It was, okay, I remember it was like green and grey in terms of colouring of the stage.
Green and grey.
Trance song, okay. Eurovision. It was Ukraine.
Oh, Ukraine.
No, it wasn't. Yes, this one. That was, love that song.
It is Shum. So it was Shum by Go A for Ukraine.
Yes, that was the one I was thinking of.
It makes sense. Because when you were singing it earlier, all I had in my head was Darude, Sandstorm. You know the song that goes...
But it kind of had that vibe to it in the song. It was, yeah, just brilliant.
I tell you what, when I was there in the arena for that, that was like a rave, a full-on rave. Again, it was it stood out so much. It was amazing.
It was different, again.
It was amazing. So Melody Grand Prix in the new year, are you going to be watching?
Yes, 100%. And I'm so curious of who's going to join from Norway.
Yeah.
I don't know anything, but I wish I knew.
So you haven't heard any rumors on the Norwegian music circuit?
Not yet, but I am going to NRK tomorrow for some promo, which is Norway's BBC.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll try and ask a few people.
Yeah, because Norway will have so much up its sleeve, as it always does. And also, let's not forget, Eurovision is in Malmö next year. There is a rivalry, isn't there? A little bit of a one between Norway and Sweden.
Bit. Yeah, and especially Sweden and Denmark as well.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
Norway's going to want to stand out in its back garden, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think we will want to make a good impression. What are your, if I can ask you a question.
Yeah.
What are your hopes for Eurovision next year in terms of like music? Like what's a, if you could like have like a dream artist or a dream song?
Oh, it's so difficult because I have to stay on the fence a little bit. But what I love about Eurovision is I would love to see a winner with a style of music that we've never seen before, or something that is completely individual and different, because that's how you get a Eurovision winner, I think. You do something that is authentic to you as an artist, not necessarily how you think a Eurovision song should be. It's something that you just love, the best winners come from people who have just got a song that they know is all about them. It's like Conchita singing Rise Like a Phoenix. That is Conchita-versed, you know?
Amazing.
Not trying to do anything else, not trying to be anybody else, just being Conchita. Loreen is the same, you know? Mm. So, and then we've got to talk about Kalia for Finland with Cha Cha Cha. You know, Eurovision had never seen anything like that before. And he was a superstar. So I forgot to mention Finland earlier. So actually, in 2023, Sweden, Finland, Norway came top five. Because Loreen was first, Kalia second, and Norway fifth, you know? You're good. What is it? Is it in the snow? Is it in the snow? Is it in the water? Is it in the school?
It's probably like it's so bad weather most of the time, so we don't really have a lot to do but to sit inside and make music.
Probably. I think you and Amanda should get together and have a little Eurovision discussion. And maybe, I'll tell you what you could do. You could like write something and submit it anonymously so that nobody knows under a pseudonym.
That would be exciting.
And then suddenly it wins Eurovision and it's revealed to be you guys.
That could be cool. A little subwoofer number two.
Oh my God, you're subwoofer the sequel. Sigrid and Amanda.
Exactly. Don't be surprised if you see someone from Norway. And it's two disguised girls.
What animal would you
be? What animal?
Yeah.
Obviously a cat. I think I am a cat in many ways.
All right. So two cats in Eurovision. We know it's Sigrid and Amanda, basically.
Yeah.
There we go.
We will come on this podcast and we will reveal ourselves.
Sigrid, it has been so good to chat. Like, thank you so much for sharing your inner Eurovision geek with us.
Thanks for having me on. It was really lovely to see you again.
Yes, you too. And enjoy the winter in Norway. Good luck with the hype. The EP is out now. Enjoy the rest of the tour and enjoy Christmas and the new year. And look forward to Eurovision next year.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Big thank you to Sigrid. I'm kicking myself that I didn't realise that it was Goé when she was saying trance song from a couple of years ago. My mind just went absolutely blank, but of course it was. And I bet you were screaming at me, weren't you, going, it's Goé! It's Goé! Anyway, check out Sigrid's EP, The Hype. And like I said, it is good to be back. Make sure you tell all your Eurovision friends to subscribe to the pod if they haven't already. You can find us wherever you get your podcast, including now on YouTube as well. Until the next time, hade. That is Norwegian for goodbye. See you soon.